Today is Saturday, the 22nd of June 2024, and we are gathered here for the 137th session on mindfulness for beginners conducted in the English medium by the Nisarwane Forest Monastery. And to our great fortune, we have Venerable Manio Rohini joining us into the program today. I would like to welcome Venerable Manio on behalf of all of us who are joining through Zoom and also through the live stream over Facebook. Furthermore, I would like to welcome all of you who are joining through Zoom and through the live stream over Facebook of the Satipatthana Foundation. Our program will commence with in-session practice guided by Venerable Manio, and then we will move on to the talk on mindfulness, which is the second talk from last week, continuation from last week, and then we will move on to the question and answer session where we will present written reports and any verbal questions from you to Venerable Manio for guidance and advice. So to start off things, I would like to invite Venerable Manio to commence the in-session practice for us. Over to Manio. Thank you.
Thank you, Namante. So today, our in-session practice, I think we are going to sit for 15 minutes or so. So for that, please sit comfortably. And comfortable means that wherever you can, it can be on a chair or on floor, on a cushion, or it doesn't matter. Wherever possible and wherever you can feel comfortable, sit and keep your body also in a balanced way, symmetrical way if possible, and keep your hands also in a comfortable manner. So by doing that, you can sit for a long time. So that is why we usually ask to have a comfortable sitting posture and comfortable way of keeping your hands and legs. So once you sit in that way, you can close your eyes, and today we are going to observe whatever happening right now. So it can be a sound, or as usual, maybe you can focus on your breath or your bodily movements. So sometimes when you sit, you can feel the posture. You can feel the toughness or roughness or the hardness of your cushion or the seat or the chair. You may feel the surface wherever you keep your legs, feet, and sometimes you might feel your tummy movements, the rising and expanding and contracting your tummy with the breath. Sometimes you may feel that your chest is going up and down with the breath. Or easily, maybe you can feel the breath around the nostril area. Whatever the prominent feeling for you, you can take it as an object to observe. So while you are doing that, if you hear a sound, today I'm not going to ask you to bring it back to the body or wherever you were before. Instead, you can try to focus on the sound. As you close your eyes, you will not see anything, but sounds will disturb you. Don't take it as a disturbance, and you can focus on the sound as well. So when the sound is finished, then naturally your attention can come back to the, or you may bring your attention back to the body. Then same way, whatever the disturbances happen, You can use it as a mindful object. Without thinking, it is as a disturbance. So in that way, we can or we will check whether our patience is there or what will happen when we are not taking it as a disturbance. So if it is a positive way of thinking towards our mindfulness practice. So let's see what will happen today. So focus on your breath or whatever the prominent, and whenever whatever happened, so don't need to suddenly come back to the object where you were before. Just instead, just focus on whatever happening right now. So we'll do for 15 minutes or so. Okay, everyone. I hope all had a good mindful session. Thank you for participating. Over to you, Namantha.
Thank you very much, Venerable Manu. And next we have the a talk on mindfulness coming up. I would share the screen for the topic, and I would like to invite Venerable Manu again for the talk on to commence the talk on mindfulness. Over to Manu again. Thank you.
Thank you, Namantha. Okay. The talk is about when you sip tea, be the tea. When you walk, be the path. That is mindfulness. So, last week we talked about the mindfulness and the benefit of mindfulness, bit of scientific, explain the scientific backgrounds and other things. So today I thought we will discuss the practical side of the mindfulness. In saying that, so usually most of the time, our minds are filled with thoughts. Thoughts about the past, with the frustration maybe with the happiness also. And we have most of the time thoughts about the future. The daydreaming, what we are going to do, what will happen with the expectations. And sometimes we have, we are thinking of someone, not myself. Maybe it is related to my thoughts are related to someone else and something else maybe, or some other places. So that means usually we are not in right now here, not with me. So when we are having that scattered or thoughts are all over the place, we say our mind is full. So instead, when we focus on one thing at a time, and give it our full attention, we say we are mindful. So this is what we are going to practice, and this is what we are going to discuss today. So as a human, we have four postures. Usually we can sit, we can walk, we can lie down, and we can stand one place. We can stand, and that is another posture. So, luckily, we can use all the postures for this practice. So, we all know right now, by now, we just before we sit, we sit and practice mindfulness in sitting posture. And sometimes we do walking and mindful walk, we say. And sometimes people say, maybe you all heard about that, while lying down, you can be mindful. Sometimes in children's daycare centers and primary schools, they use that lying down. The children are lying down with a toy on their tummy and observe it. It's going up and down. So likewise, the lying down posture also we can use for a mindfulness practice. And the standing. So whenever you stand, we feel that we are standing. We are not lying down. We are not walking or we are not sitting. Now we are in a standing posture. And that feel in a different way. So that feeling also we can use for the mindfulness practice. So, saying that, all the postures we can use. And we have six senses also. What are the six senses? We have eyes, ears, tongue, nose, body, and the mind. So those are six senses. We take all the inputs through these six senses. We take inputs through the six senses and provide those inputs into the brain, and inside the brain, thus the analytical part is happening, and then we produce something. The six senses are our input method or input doors. So fortunately, we can use all the senses to practice mindfulness. So that's why today I ask all of you, you can practice mindfulness while we are sitting and just accept whatever happened. So whatever happened means, if you felt that, that means one of that six sense is working. So while you are sitting, if you observe the breath, so that is the bodily feeling. If you observe a sound, then you are using the ears. So if you are observing a thought, then you are using the mind. So likewise, we have six senses, and all the senses we can use to practice mindfulness. So that is also very important, and actually we are lucky. For example, we can use eyes to see or to look at mindfully. We can use our ears to listen mindfully, especially school children. That is very important. And also adults, if they are working in an office or somewhere, or wherever you work, even at home, that mindful listening is so important. And when you eat, you can use the tongue. So you can be mindful eater. And you can smell in a mindful way. And you can observe mindfully your bodily feelings, the aches and pains and, you know, all those things. And also you can observe thoughts and emotions. So in this manner, we can use all the senses for a mindfulness practice. In saying that, when we use all the mindfulness, when we use all the senses to be mindful, so we have the mindfulness is there, and the mindfulness itself is evolving. So we can see that evolving nature of mindfulness. So that's because of that evolving nature, we feel that mindfulness has many meanings with the depth of understanding. So that is what we are going to talk today. We are going to discuss today actually. So if we can try to understand, if we can keep our mind, I mean, focus to the practice, and if we can remind past experience, you can go with me with my talk. So for example, as a beginner, we are going to just be aware. That is the awareness. Only we focus on awareness. So today that is what we did. So we are going to focus on awareness. So the awareness is there. Whatever the happen around you, you are not just focusing not to the one thing, but whatever happened around you, you are focusing on that. So your mindfulness is going with the awareness only. So you are aware. If there's a sound, you're okay. You know there's a sound. If you are in an open eyes, with the open eyes, so you know if there's something happening, you can see, you are aware of that. In the meantime, if you feel that any aches and pains, you are aware about it. So likewise, the first mindfulness or the beginning or beginner's mindfulness, we can say it is just awareness. So we can use this while we are on walk, or while in a sitting position, or when we are doing some work in day-to-day life. So daily activities, while we are doing daily activities, we can use this, the awareness. So you know what is happening and you are aware about it, and you are having kind of awareness. So you know what happened. You know where you put your glasses. You know where you put your pen after you work whatever you did. So likewise, you are aware of things. So this is a simple and beginning mindfulness or beginner's mindfulness. So we can use this for mindful what you hear or what you see, what you smell, what you taste. And all those senses you can use for this level, and you are going to be aware. That is so simple, and that is the beginning mindfulness of beginners. And we can, in this time, when you are aware of those things, you can be recall it. What has happened last hour or so, or what has happened the whole day, you can recall it. And one important thing is, when you can recall it, you can use it as a to improving practice. So after whole day, you can go to bed, or just before bed, you can recall what has happened today. Is there anything remarkable events happen, or what has happened? Is there anything negative or positive? So those things you can do because you are aware of many things. You are putting your awareness into, not into the one thing, but everything. So in general, you know what has happened. So to improve this level, you can use that, as I said, before you go to bed or at the end of the day, you can recall all the memories and improve your that awareness. The second level is mindful of a given object. So, for example, when we are mindful on a breath, so we have a given object, that is the breath. Or if we are mindful on a walk, so we are focusing on the maybe feet, or the shifting weight, or the hip movements. Whatever the object, we are already given object, we are looking at the given object. Or we are focused on, we are having 100% attention to the given object. This is the second level. So in this level, you are completely focusing on that given object. Whenever the distraction happens, so the advice is bring back to the given object. Bring back your attention to the given object. So not like today, not asking, okay, you can stay with the whatever the distracted sound or the pain or whatever. We are not going to ask it. Instead, we are asking, okay, bring back your attention to the primary object or the main object. This is the second level. So here also we can use the all four posture. While you are sitting, you can use this as a breath or tummy movements or the bodily awareness. You can use the most prominent one. Also, when you walk, you can use this. Usually we use, and also for the feelings, the bodily feelings, we can use when we are doing day-to-day activities. So that is also a possibility. So this level, we are all focused on the bodily movement or bodily thing that is very easily get our attention. We are not thinking, or we are not having any observation about the thoughts. We are not having any observation about the feelings, but only the bodily feelings. So it might be maybe a breath or the tummy movements or the day-to-day activities. Then how you feel in your hands or the feet. So likewise, we use bodily feeling, and that is the primary object, and we use only that primary object to be mindful. Whenever the distraction happens, we will bring back to the primary object. That is the second level. The third one is mindfulness with the clear comprehension. So there is something, the wisdom is also there. The clear comprehension is there. So whatever happened, this is right now at this level, what we are doing, what as I said in a second level, we use object, a primary object, either breath or something. So we use the primary object and we are not going to stay with that all the time. When the primary object is disappear or when it become another object, so for example, a light or another sound or something, that the primary object evolved. So if that evolvement or the when the primary object is evolved, the mindfulness also evolved. So when that happened, if that person is mature enough to observe the whatever the changes, then we say that that person has the clear comprehension. Not only the mindfulness, but the clear comprehension is also there. That is the third level. So, I am not going to discuss it further, the third level. And the fourth one is, if someone is so much of having mindfulness practice, and if that person is so mindful, that person can observe thoughts and feelings. That person can observe, or that person can take object as object, thoughts and feelings. So when there are, when the one person can observe their thoughts or the feelings, that means the emotional feelings, I mean. So that when that person is capable of observing those thoughts and feelings, that means that person has lot of experience. That person has, because otherwise, if you are trying to observe feelings, emotional feelings and thoughts before, as a beginner, you can't find the thoughts or the feelings until you entangle with that thoughts. So once when you entangle with thoughts, you are not observing thoughts, you are observing a end of chain of thought. So that is why this fourth level, the mindfulness on thoughts and feelings, is recognized for a practitioner, a long-term practitioner. Otherwise, you think you are observing the thoughts. Otherwise, you think you are observing the emotional feelings. But instead, you are entangled with thoughts, entangled with a complex of feelings. So then this the practice is not worthy, or then the practice is not in a right way. But if someone feels that, okay, I am capable of doing this, or if someone thinks that, okay, I will try this. So the best time is like when you are having a cup of tea. So or for a little time. So when you have a cup of tea, having a cup of tea, you will sit somewhere and have relaxed time and relaxed posture. And then you can observe what is, while I am doing this, I am drinking this cup of tea, what are the thoughts running behind? I am drinking my cup of tea, but while I am drinking, there are some thoughts going in the background. So if you can catch them, that is a good way of mind practice to be mindful on thoughts. Or sometimes you can have a little time, whether it's rest time or relax time, and just observe. Just sit for the observing purpose only for 2 minutes or 3 minutes or very tiny time, little time. So when you observe, when you keep like that for a little time for those observations, observation of feelings, the mental feelings or emotional feelings and the thoughts, please keep to a little times, the short period. Then you don't need to have a frustration about entangling thoughts. So this is the fourth one of mindfulness. And the fifth one, it is there's not fifth one, I am going to discuss about the blames and frustrations that develop inside the practitioner's mind. So when we practice mindfulness, when we are having some kind of successful practice in our mindfulness practice, we think that, okay, we should be a good person. We will not do any harmful or any negative things. And also we think that, how do you call it? I will be a good person, or I will do nothing wrong on that now on, or I am going to practice every day for half an hour or the 1 hour, or, you know, like lot of expectations. We develop within us lot of expectations. That is a kind of blame when that is not happening. When that expectation is not happened, then we are going to blame ourselves. Sometimes also people blame us, saying that, okay, if something happened while you work or while you are talking or something like that happened, that is not acceptable. Then people might say, okay, if you are a mindful practitioner, how could we expect these mistakes from you? So people might ask that kind of questions. Then we get frustrated. Okay, people say this and that, and, you know, I am a practitioner, but I can't keep that promise for myself or the others. So people are blaming, you know, like that. Or how come, if you are a practitioner, how come these mistakes is happening? So likewise, those blames and frustration within us, even the person, as a person, you will be frustrated in the same way, even for a little mistake. So these blames and frustrations are there. So you need to understand it and need to not to avoid. You need to expect these things. So my mind itself will blame me. You'll get the frustration because I am not a perfect practitioner. Or today I couldn't do my practice. So tomorrow I will not be able to do practice. Likewise, we will have any more expectations, and when it is not happening, then you get frustration. So these are some kind of backward feelings or backward attitudes we develop within us while we are practicing. So for this, what we can say that experience, we need to think that 24 hours and every minute we can't be mindful. It is impossible. So we need to understand that. So we are also doing some mistakes. It can happen because we are not mindful. So if we expect that 24 and 60 minutes, if we think we can be mindful, that will not happen. So first of all, we need to understand we can't be mindful throughout the day. The second thing is, sometimes that experienced practitioner may use thought as an object. When that person is using thoughts as an object from time to time, during that period, they may not fully recognize all their bodily actions. For example, while you are cutting your salad, you are cutting the salad. But if you are mindful, you need to focus on the how you feel in your palms, or how you feel when you're cutting your or when you use your knife, how you feel. So likewise, you need to be within your body if you are mindful. So people might think that way, and you might think that way too. But instead, if you are mindful about thoughts right now while you are cutting your salad, if you can be, or you may be mindful about your thoughts. then you are not fully recognized your bodily actions. So in this, in the same time, if you want to keep something, or your curry is on the pot in the burn, so it maybe it is burning. So someone can say, okay, you are not mindful enough to look at that. Although you are a practitioner, but you are not mindful enough. So in that way, in that sense, if you are thinking that, okay, if you get the frustration, or actually, yes, I am not mindful, but that is not the truth. Maybe you are mindful about your thoughts at the time. Maybe you are mindful about your feelings at that time. So what I wanted to say that when you are mindful, when you think that you are not mindful, be aware what you did at that time. Are you roaming? Your thoughts are in background. You don't know what are you thinking of. Or you don't know what has happened during that period, then you need to consider, okay, I am not mindful. But instead, if you know what has happened during that time, maybe you don't know what has happened in the curry, or maybe you don't know what has happened with the chopping board or the salad, but if you know, okay, my mind was with the thoughts, and this and this and this thoughts were run behind my background. So if you know that, if you are capable of recognizing those things, you can't say that I am not mindful, and you can't blame yourself. So likewise, I'm just saying, sometimes that can happen. Sometimes that blame is coming through yourself rather than someone else. So generally, what I wanted to say, this is mindfulness is something not permanent. Mindfulness is something not one thing you can expect for all the time. For the beginner and the expert or whatever, you can't think that the mindfulness is a one thing. The mindfulness has that evolving nature, the evolving quality. So it depends on the practice. And even the good practitioner sometimes will have or may have bad days. So likewise, we can't expect things with the mindfulness. Also, we can't blame ourselves. So in summary, what I want to say, in the beginning, we can observe everything. Just be aware about what is happening around us. So that awareness is the mindfulness for the beginner. And then what we need to do, we can use that one object as an object, or one thing as an object, and practice mindfulness. That is something evolved. It is not the beginner's mindfulness. It is somewhat evolved mindfulness. So that person can concentrate, or that person can look at one thing for a long period. That person can focus on one thing for a long period. So that is something evolved mindfulness. It is not the beginner's. Even that time, also sometimes if you are in a busy place, you can't have time to, or you can't have any possibility to focus on one thing, then you can use the awareness one. You can go back and forth. It doesn't matter. But I'm saying the mindfulness has that evolving nature, then that we need to understand, and that we need to use to practice ourselves. As a beginner, as well as a the expert practitioner, or a good practitioner, or the experienced practitioner. So the awareness as well as the given object, so we can use all four postures, and within that all postures, for awareness we can use our all senses, and for one, taking one object as a practicing or the given object or the primary object, then we can use the four postures and we can use the bodily awareness. And the third one with the mindfulness, with the clear comprehension. So the clear comprehension is very important here. Then that means whenever the subtle things happen, we know that and we are not afraid of it. And we are ready to observe that, whatever the happen. So that is with the clear comprehension. And the fourth one is, I explained that about the mindfulness on thoughts and feelings. So that is very important to know that you might get frustrated when you are not ready for that. So if you are, if you are able to observe the thoughts, that means without entangling with thoughts, or without going with the thoughts. So that is also something you can practice. And the other thing I wanted to tell, or I wanted to emphasize here, is don't blame yourself or to the others about practice, because the mindfulness practice is going back and forth all the time. And today might be a good day, maybe the next day it can be a bad day. But still you are in a practice, so you are in the path. So thinking that you can be happy all the time, thinking that I am in the path, or I am in the mindful path. Yeah. So saying that, I would like to sum up. I would like to finish my talk. Thank you for listening, everyone. Over to you, Namantha.
Thank you very much, Merit sir. Venerable Manu. Next, we will move on to the question and answer session, and I will share the screen for the introduction to beginners. And I would like to invite Sonali to commence the session. Over to you, Sonali.
Thank you, Namantha. Avasarai, Venerable Rohini. There are two reports received for today. Oh, sorry, before that, I have to go through the guide. Totally forgot that. Thank you for sharing, Namantha. Before going into the reports, I will run through the beginner's guide quickly. For anyone who would like a quick refresher or would like to send it to someone who's just starting the training, there are two videos as usual. These are can you hear me, Namantha? Yeah, okay. So first one is about mindful walking and the next one's mindful sitting. Once you had some time to watch these videos, set aside some time to do your own practice based on this. Start with any amount of time and build it up to an hour or 2 hours is the recommendation. And once you have had time to practice, a couple of sessions, then you can start writing down your own experiences, which then helps not just you, for all of us. As you can see, where there are two reports received today, and we can then present it to the Venerable, who will give us their guidance on how our progression is and what maybe our next steps are and how successful we've been, and we can analyze that. And it helps all of us when we read a report, because we at some point or the other have been in very similar situations to the people who wrote the reports. So how you can send the reports to us is via the Google form, which the link is provided here and on the chat. And also via email, which is beginnersnv@gmail.com. And also, if anyone wants to listen to any of these sessions at a later stage, they will all be uploaded into this link, which we will share on the chat in a little while. Sometimes it takes a few days for them to be uploaded after the session, but it will nevertheless be updated. All the previous sessions will have been updated on this link. So now we can move on to the reports and the Q&A. We have, as I said before, received two reports via Gmail. We haven't had any reports received via the Google form. And I will start with the first one. Mindful sitting. sat on the low stool in a symmetrical position. Attention naturally moved to breath, which was subtle. Felt various sensations such as pressure points on buttocks, lightness of upper body, slight vibrations in lower legs. Attention would be breath often, but felt like it was shared between noticing bodily feelings and breath. Thoughts arose and passed. Some recurring thoughts would bring up difficult emotions that lingered. Once it was noted, that passed away, but some of the thoughts continued to arise and pass. In amongst all this, the mind could note the subtle breath and sometimes prominent breath. Sat for 45 minutes. Mindful walking. Walked on the pavement with shoes on. Attention was on feet movement. Upper body tilted forward when climbing hills and tilted backwards when coming down. Even when attention had drifted, the body continued to walk. Weight shifted quicker than going down slopes in the area. There was a feeling of neither happy nor sad with the walk. Like it is familiar and there are no expectations from it, such as getting to a destination. Walk for 40 minutes. Mindfulness during the day. Notice two standards of recurring mental activity this week. First, are the emotions brought up by some events from recent trip to Sri Lanka. These events were the happiest at the time, and now the saddest sadness comes up when this comes to mind. Many other thoughts arise and pass, leaving little or no emotional feeling attached to them. In sitting session also, the recurring thoughts and associated feelings experienced. Part of the mind noticing this was unmoved, while the other part of the mind was pulled in by sad feelings. Already knew that no experience can be repeated exactly. Still, an attachment to those happy feelings brings these events up in mind repeatedly. If sad things bring feelings and happy things also end up bringing feelings, is there a point of either? It feels pointless. Second strand is noticing quite a bit of disinterest in mind. This is stronger than the need for happy feelings from memories. Disinterest moving to a feeling of peace and calmness. Sensitivity to recurring memories is less now. Doing this report also gave a bit more mental space and clarity. I shall watch what the mind shows without judgment. Dear Bhante Omanyo, look forward to the venerable feedback. Much merit to the organizers. End of report. Venerable Rohini.
Thank you, Sonali. One thing I noticed that while they're sitting, say the subtle breath force experience and then shifted the mind about the bodily feelings. So in here, I thought if that person, then if the person is long enough practitioner, that person can avoid the shifting from breath to the bodily feelings. Rather, if that person can focus on only the breath, so then if there's no breath or the subtle breath, still you can focus on the subtle breath without changing your object. If that person can keep that the primary object all through 45 minutes or the 1 hour, then you will see there are many changes in the breath also, and that experience is kind of eye opening or kind of improving your clear comprehension actually. So if the person whoever sent this report try to focus on breath only while you are sitting and avoid or try to avoid focus on other areas when the breath is in a subtle form. Naturally, when the breath is subtle, there's a trend to focus on something else, something prominent. That is the trend. But this person, I think he or she is now can be brave enough to keep the object, one object, not shifting from breath to the bodily feelings. So that is one comment I want to tell. And the other thing is the emotions. You know, sometimes we are happy, and the same thing, sometimes we get sick and sad. That is very common, because whatever the thing is, not the reason for sadness or happiness. The sadness or happiness bring to us with our attitude, with our feeling, what we put into that thing, with our thoughts. That is what we, sometimes we suffer like a sadness. Sometimes we are suffer or we are enjoying the happiness with the same thing. For example, if you get a memory of your daughter or son or the parents or something like that. So sometimes when you, the parents is, I mean, the object is parents. But sometimes when you keep your memory with the good things, you feel happy. But sometimes when you keep, okay, I couldn't do this and I couldn't do that for my parents or my children, then you might get sadness. The object is object, but what we put as emotions, as thoughts, is making us sad or happy. So that observation is good, actually, during the day-to-day activities, that observation. And walking is okay. And I think that is what I wanted to tell the person, for especially for sitting, please try to do that.
Thank you, Venerable Rohini. So I will move on to the next one. Sitting meditation. Watch breath as primary object, initially equal length of in and out breath, cooler in breath, warmer out breath. Noted discomfort and later tingling in one foot than the other. Mind went back to breath, thoughts, images, sounds, smells noted, to arise and then passed. The mind returned to breath, prominent on one side and then later in the other nostril, but mind calm. Daily mindfulness. Noted dullness and sleepiness arising in mind after a big meal. Tried to shake it off. Had to rest for a short period, but woken up by family member. Noted despite tiredness, happy to make time to help. Mind alert again after a short period, helped by washing face in cold water. Energy returned to cook for almsgiving. Mind noted to be happy, calm, able to keep mind on track during these activities. That is the end of report, Venerable Rohini.
That's a good report, actually. It's very honest. And after lunch or after dinner, I don't know, maybe. Also, we get that kind of lethargic feeling or the dullness. Sometimes you can use walking meditation for that. You can wash your face also, yes, one thing also. And sometimes Buddha said you can earlobes, you can pull earlobes, the blood circulation is increased. Then you get less dullness or the sleepiness. The another thing you can use. Walking, washing your face or rubbing your face or pulling your earlobes to downwards. And if you can't overcome your dullness doing those things, then you can put the alarm for 15 minutes or 20 minutes or 30 minutes and sleep. And wake up with that, I mean, with the time. You are not going to sleep for 1 hour, 2 hours or so, but just have a rest with the time limit. So that is also prescribed by Buddha actually. So when you have that dullness, so even without having food, sometimes we feel that dullness. Sometimes it comes with the practice also. Lethargic and dullness and not feeling like, no, I can't do. So all those times, our Loku Swaminaza also says, and the Buddha said also, the walking meditation is the best. And the other things what she said also, he or she said about the washing faces and doing some other activities on, you know, you can break sometimes. If you can't, so go back to that 15 minutes or 20 minutes rest time, and then you will feel that kind of, how do you call it, happiness or wakefulness. But please don't go to sitting meditation or sitting, mindful sitting after lunch, after meal, because it increases your that dull feeling, sleepiness. The best thing is walking meditation. And other than that, I don't have any comments for that report. So it says the tingling feeling is there, or maybe it is like tingling as tingling, or you can observe it if it is not as a tingling, I mean hirivetanava. If not it is like that, then you can observe whether it is coming from your mindfulness practice or not. So other than that, I think it's a good report. Thank you, Sonali.
Thank you, Venerable Rohini. So that is the end of reports for today. So now we can open it out to any questions about today's meditation or your practice or in any general questions. Please raise your Zoom hand and I'll let you unmute and ask your question. I might take a quick question if it's okay, Venerable Rohini. It's not a question, it's a more of a statement. I also, as Manu said today in your talk, quite often go to bed blaming myself for not doing certain things, that I didn't achieve what I wanted to achieve. And I quite often do like a list of things I need to achieve during that day and try to achieve them. And if I haven't done them, I go to bed quite disappointed with myself. So I think one of those things that you mentioned today was just blaming myself. And I think I do that on a regular basis when I look at it. And doing meditation is also on the list. And sometimes I haven't achieved that, and I then go to bed disappointed at myself for no major reason. It's because I set a list to myself and I haven't achieved these things. And it's not affecting anybody else, it's just me, and I'm disappointed in myself because of that.
True, because our expectations are high, sometimes it is too high. So I think best thing is to, now you know who you are, so the best thing after you knowing that who you are and your capability and your potential, then you can keep your expectation in a lower, very low level. So then you have that kind of feeling. Okay, for you can, before, if you keep four tasks per day, so now with the understanding yourself, you can put only one or two tasks. So I am going to fulfill these two tasks, the lowest level. Then you can develop within you that positive positive emotions or positive attitudes towards you. So because you have that haki sanya, the perception that you can do this. Now always when you are not able to finish, not able to fulfill all the tasks, so always you develop within you negative feelings. The blaming yourself all the time. Instead, if you can keep two or, you know, less, the lowest task you can as an expectation for a day. So you, when you do that, you have that kind of happiness and the lightness inside you. So that will make a total difference within you. Just try it. Keep lower level. And when it's fulfilled, you can do, try it for a week or two or like that. And then you can gradually, okay, another one you can add. But a person can have, only 24 hours. And if you are sleeping for 7, 6 hours, then how many hours you have to do all the things? So in that sense, keeping the lowest task, you can achieve, if you feel that, okay, I can achieve this much of task per day. So then you can try it. If you can't do that, then you can have another one, avoid the two, only two tasks or like that. Go back to the achievable level. So sometimes when we have some questions from children, school children, for example, when they say, okay, I am right behind in my task, for exam, then what we say, okay, don't go to the page where you can expect or where you can achieve. So go back to the 2, 3 pages or 10 pages back. For example, if it is a maths subject as a maths, so don't go to this exercise on the page 52, but go back to the 42 and do again those things. Then you have developed it within you that I can do. That perception is there. You develop the perception that will give you a huge push to the next level. So we can adapt those suggestions not only to the subject wise, also to the other task. Even for meditation, if you can't sit for 30 minutes or 1 hour, okay, today I can't, but I will sit for 5 minutes at least. Don't give up at, the whole meditation. If you can't for 1 hour, usually you are doing, for example, if you are doing 1 hour practice, today I can't, I have no time to do that. But at least at the same time, sit for 5 minutes. In that way, you can avoid that blame towards you, and that make a huge difference in your emotional feelings.
Thank you, Venerable Rohini. I think it's a good observation, because you mentioned it, I started realizing that I actually do that. So I need to do something about it. Thank you, Venerable Rohini. Anyone else who would like to? Okay, there is a raised hand. Hemimali, would you like to ask, unmute and ask your question?
Yes, Avasarai Manu. When you are doing Anapanasati, the breath meditation, and when you come to observe the breath in a very subtle position, and then the Vedana arises, what I have to do, I need your advice whether to watch the subtle breath or the Vedana. Thank you, Vante.
It's a good question, actually. Yesterday also, I got the same question from one of my Daika. Actually, same question. So, when your breath is subtle, although that feeling, the Vedana was there before, but you didn't notice it because your focus was on breath. And the breath, when the breath is subtle, then all other feelings, bodily feelings, it might be a bad feeling or real Vedana, or it might be just a subtle something you feel. But it doesn't matter because of that, the breath is also disappearing. That is why it is prominent. It become the Vedana, the bodily feelings become prominent. But if you can focus on breath, even though it is subtle, through the Vedana, through the feelings, best thing is to focus on breath. if you feel that, okay, because the Vedana is so prominent now and it is intolerable, then you can look at the Vedana, look at the feelings. When if it is a painful one, you can look at it and without, actually, I can't say that without angry feeling, but it will be there because when the meditation is, the way mindfulness is happening so well, when the painful experience is there, naturally you become angry. That is natural. But that is why I said if you can look at the breath, even though pain is there, so look at the breath. If you can't look at the breath, then look at the Vedana, the painful feeling. So if the painful feeling is increasing, then you can say, okay, only one more minute, I will stay. So you are talking to your mind, saying that, okay, one more minute, I'm going to stay without changing my posture. So likewise, you can increase one more minute, one more minute, one more minute. So sometimes that pain is giving up. So sometimes it's totally disappear and you can come back to the breath. Sometimes it goes like, you know, like a tiger. It's coming so painful, that limit is unbearable. So in that time, if that happens, then you can change your posture very slowly, slowly, mindfully. So it is okay to change your posture slowly, mindfully. Now I think you can remember what I said. First is, through the pain, you can observe the breath. That is the best. If you can't observe the breath because of the pain is so severe or pain is so painful, then you can observe the pain. If the pain is not disappearing, if the pain is not giving you any relief, then you can change your posture slowly, mindfully. I hope that person got the answer. If not, please ask.
Yes, Manu, I got the answer. Best thing is to, through pain, the concentrate the subtle breath. Yeah. Second one is to, yeah, I understood, Bhante. I'll try. And
okay.
Let's come back to you. Thank you, Bhante.
Thank you, Hemamali. We have some time for more questions, if anyone has. Okay, there is another question. Hiranti, would you like to unmute and ask a question?
Yes, yeah. Hi, Manu. I just want to ask, mindfulness is something where you have to be mindful all the time. Is there anything, because being mindful for a few years, will that help to continue? Did you understand what I mean? If one has been mindful for a long, long time, does that help as you go forward? Or will it just disappear completely if you become unmindful in the future?
If I understand your question, I will repeat. So what you ask, as a long-time practitioner, so if you stop being practicing, so whatever you gain will disappear or not. Is that true? The question you ask?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Okay.
But will it be difficult to, you know, start again? Do you have to go from scratch?
Definitely. Because, you know, that right now you are being mindful for 1 hour or so formally. And try to be mindful while doing day-to-day activities. So that is what we are doing usually. And when you stop that, so that means the whole 24 hours are mindful. So So full of thoughts with this and that and the person and the other person and, you know, all the frustrations are there, all the expectations are there, all everything is crumbled. So you need to, it is like, you know, you clean your clothes, it's a white cloth, you clean thoroughly and it is so white now, you left that one in the, out there, somewhere outside. So what will happen? What do you expect from that?
It will get dirty again.
It is dirty again. So what will happen? Maybe it is so hard to clean that cloth also. If you can, like I told Sonali, if you can practice at least half an hour, just as a continuation, if you can't continue for 1 hour or the whole day is, you know, now and then you lose your mindfulness. It is normal. It is really, really normal. So it doesn't, you know, don't need to frustrate about it. But, yeah, so that is the thing. If you don't practice, so again, you are helping to pollute it or helping to get dirt. The dirty look. And it is dirty, actually. You can't do anything with that cloth.
So you're back and, to zero.
Definitely. Unless I don't know whether I am okay to talk Buddhism here. I don't know. If I am allowed, Snali, is okay? Okay. So
yes,
if you are,
of course.
Okay. So if you are at least attained to stream entry level, the sotapan, then it is not. If you are before that, all this you can go to the zero. Or the minus. If you eradicate all the defilements with the three fetters, the first three fetters, then you will not go back to the zero.
Thank you, Vanya. It's not that I'm intending to do that, but I just wondered, you know, sometimes it goes up and down, really. So get back.
It is all. I mean. For us also, it is going, you know, back and forth.
Yeah.
That is very normal. Because, you know, the mind is always not in the same way. Whatever the circumstances around us, change our mind also. If we are in a happy people, among, within happy people, then we are happy also.
Mm.
Although there's nothing to sad. If we are in people with sad people, so we are getting sad also. It is like influencing.
Yeah, but I think that is the time you should practice more mindfulness if you are among the wrong people.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I find it as well as experience it all the time.
Yeah. It is a good, how do you call it? Food for our practice, actually, for a mindful person.
Yeah.
Food for the thoughts.
Thank you, Manu.
Thank you for all your questions, and thank you, Manu. Anyone else with questions? We are almost at time to end the session now, but we can allow you if there is any questions. All right, doesn't look like we have any more questions. Namantha, then over to you to end the session.
Thank you, Sonali, and much merits to you for conducting the question and answer session, and many merits to General Manu, and thank you. And we are going to close the program today. I would like to associate all the merits gained with General Manu and wish General Manu great health and long life, and also the fulfillment of objectives in the path of mindfulness. Furthermore, I would like to mention the most venerable Bhante Udayaregham Dhammajiva Mahathero, the Chief Abbot of the Nisarana Forest Monastery, and pass on merits to him and wish him success in his path of mindfulness. I would also like to mention all the wonderful organizers behind this program who work behind the scenes to maintain this program. I wish these merits to be passed on to them and wish that all their mindfulness purposes will be achieved. I would like to also thank Sonali for conducting the question and answer session. Thank you and much best to you. And also all of you who have joined through the Facebook live stream and this Zoom session, I would like to pass all the mails to you and wish all your mindfulness objectives are comfortably achieved and fulfilled and success on your path to realizing the noble truths. So the program will commence again at the same time next week, and I hope to see you all there. Until then, I wish all of you a happy and mindful week ahead where you get to practice and learn further with applied practice. Thank you, and I will end the Zoom session. See you next week.